Sponsored by 1010 Podcasts.
The Celtic Exchange, a fresh insight on Celtic Football Club.
Jota and Kyogo continue to do their thing, scoring six of our seven goals this week against Ferencvaros in Dundee. These two are grabbing the headlines, and rightly so, but another story that continues to catch the attention of the fans is the ongoing reinvention of Tony Ralston. An incredible turnaround from the powerful fullback who added another couple of assists to his tally against Dundee. This year's Ballon d'Or ceremony takes place in Paris later this month, so that one's probably come a bit too soon for him, but next year's as good a time as any for him to break that Messi Ronaldo stronghold on the trophy. This is episode 45 of the Celtic Exchange Weekly. This is Tino, and this week I'm joined by Miff and Sinky. Remember that guy? To cover all things Celtic. Miff, another couple of away wins this week, plenty goals into the bargain. How's your week in Celtic been?
Hi Tino, hi Sinky, good to see you son. Hi listeners, yes, much better. Probably you can tell by the tone straight away, much better this week than I was last week. Just everything that you want, two hard fought victories in the road, particularly Ferencvaros, very impressive. I thought we controlled the game for large spells, and to score seven goals in the road is just an excellent return, and I think it's testament to the type of football that Ange wants us to play. We've conceded goals, but we've scored more than the other team, and I think that's really what Ange Ball's all about.
Yeah, 100%. Sinky, welcome back. First of all, did you find your way in okay?
I did. Well, obviously, the closures with the COP26 threw me off a wee bit, but I managed to get here in the end. It's good to be back.
Your six-month hiatus.
Well, I was waiting to win two games in the bounce before I put myself back in the equation. But you know something? It's great to be back. Obviously, Paddy's been poached by the BBC to take over for Sir David Attenborough when he chucks it, with that voice of his. But I know it's good to be back. FIBA's been great. The last couple of games, good to watch. It was interesting, we were watching the interview with Joe Hart before the game yesterday, and he kind of touched a lot about Ange Ball, and he says you need to stick with us. Sometimes it will come off, sometimes it won't, but when it comes off, it's an absolute joy to watch.
Yeah, as you say, at the end of the day, as long as you score more goals in the opposition, and you know whether it's 1-0 or 6-5, it's the same end product. So now it's been great to see, and we had a wee laugh there before coming on air talking about the fickleness of fans, very much including ourselves in that, because myself and James done the final whistle show after Livingston just over a week ago, and it's F this, F that. talking about how bad it's been, but just, you know, the negatives from that.
That's a Celtic thing, by the way. As they bring you up and kick you down, bring you back up again.
But on the very points that we mentioned and that were mentioned in the final whistle show against Livy, and then subsequently in the podcast, where, you know, don't play Juranovic at left back, that kind of get blow at the water. Or Beaton's got to be in midfield. Beaton probably the best game in a long, long time. In fact, he was excellent against Ferencvaros as well, to be fair. You know, so all those wee niggly things that were going against you, I suppose that's where it all comes back to just having that faith in the manager, that he's got to get the best out of whatever team he puts in the park. And again, last season's probably still playing in a lot of people's minds, that you feel that burnt by the whole thing, that the natural bumps in the road that come in the course of a season were just a bit more sensitive to them, are more sensitive now than we've ever been.
Yeah, I mean, on that very note, actually, so even though, you know, Celtic were far too strong, far too powerful for Dundee on Sunday, 4-2, obviously the final scoreline, when it got to 4-2, did you think one more goal makes an early finish here?
What bothered me, and I kind of felt like it all the way through the game, right up until probably the last 10 minutes, was Dundee did look pretty dangerous every time they were at the park. It wasn't that often, but they did. And then I kind of thought to myself, well, you've effectively got Juranovic playing out of position, really, and also Welsh coming in after a long spell out. So there's reasons why the defence probably isn't as robust as it would have been, say, if Starfelt had been in there, or even Scales, Taylor, Ball and Goalie, whoever it might be. I think the defence has looked a wee bit more solid when we've had a natural left back there. So there's mitigating circumstances for that, but that would be, if there's one negative, I think that the goals were conceding. We just always look like conceding, and that's an area we just kind of need to tighten up. Dundee by no means are a powerful attacking force, but they looked fairly dangerous against us yesterday.
They were also missing their number 9, one Lee Griffiths, obviously couldn't play, so they're even less potent without him. What I'll do, as mentioned at the top of the show, obviously Jota and Kyogo continue to impress, you know, really entertaining, getting their goals and everything good's coming through those two guys just now. Some really good goals scored amongst the four, but as you say, Miff, a couple of sloppy ones conceded. Sinky, all in all, pretty good day at the office.
Pretty good day at the office. This striving towards perfection, we're never going to get it. People have been slating individuals, first for obviously some of the goals. With the crosses and the set plays and stuff like that. I mean, I was nervous. It seemed they went to 2-1, they get their tails up. I was nervy, and then obviously we came into the second half and we blew them away in the first 10 minutes of that. Getting this perfection, getting these clean sheets, I don't think we're ever going to see that under Ange. I really don't.
Yeah, he's not mad about the clean sheets, is he?
No.
Doesn't he pop champagne corks up?
Exactly that. But I honestly, as I said there, I think he's happy to win 4-3s, 4-2s, 3-2s. So just see how nervy that gets in the latter stage of the season. You may have seen this one pre-match, lads, but there was a stat doing the rounds just to show the difference between Celtic when we start Kyogo and when we don't. And it's quite incredible. So just as a reminder of anyone that didn't see it, when he starts, so he started 7 games for Celtic, we've won 6 of them and lost 1, scoring 21 goals in the process, so a win rate of 86%. When he's not started, and that's over 5 games, we've had 1 win in those 5 games, 2 draws, 2 defeats, scoring only 5 goals and a win rate of 20%. It's quite a striking comparison, isn't it?
As much as it might showcase just how vital he is to us, that's the whole reason why we bought him, was for him to be vital for us. And it also highlights just how much, you know, I think any team that's successful has their linchpin, their main man. And, you know, Eddie was it for a while and then tapered away for obvious reasons, for reasons well known, we've commented on several times in the past. The money we spent in Kyogo, not an insignificant amount of money for a club like Celtic, based on their budget and based how much they like to spend on players. It was a decent investment. It was a manager's purchase. And he's producing the goods. So I think those stats to me just prove what a good signing he's been, rather than to say anything else.
There's no way we would have known before he signed how vital he was going to be and how pivotal he was going to be to the way we work. Yeah. Look at the numbers, look at the stats.
But Ange knew.
He definitely knew. And that's why he's the man for the job.
Yeah. I mean, he was interviewed post-match on Celtic TV, and the fella asked him, you know, that's 13 goals for Kyogo in 18 games. He surprised, you know, how quickly he's hit the ground running. He says, listen, he says, I'm the least surprised in Scotland because I knew exactly what we're getting from this guy. But to your point, you're right, this is why we signed Kyogo, so it should be no surprise. I think there's a couple of tweets and different things doing the rounds from the other side of the city. There's actually one that stands out that says, Celtic have just signed a guy at 5'7" and less than 10 stone for Japan. We'll see how that works out. It's going pretty well so far,
my man. Koki Mizuno?
So that's going okay. But there's two schools of thought at play here regarding Kyogo. You know, some people think it's so dangerous to be so reliant on any one player, but I totally agree with your point, Miff. You know, surely any successful team relies on one or maybe two real standouts at any given time. You know, your talisman. And so I'm thinking, you know, Salah at Liverpool, Vardy at Leicester and Charlie Adam at Dundee.
I must have watched that clip about 30 times. Yeah, I'm getting pretty backside.
That's brilliant, isn't it?
Especially when he was kind of getting it tight to Ralston, that challenge, that kind of skirmish there. You could see he was getting it the big game. Adam, Charlie.
Exactly.
I'll show you. And then he's just went right, ran into a bricky and he's knew all about it.
The only thing with guys, your talismans you mentioned, when you've not got them, and it's injuries and all that kind of stuff, you've not got them, you miss them so much.
You noticed even just a few games that Kyogo missed for injury so far, you know, we were a different side without him.
Absolutely. If you think back to somebody, you know, in my lifetime, somebody who's probably been the most important player for Celtic was Henrik Larsson. He had 2 notable absences, and that was when he broke his cheekbone and obviously when he broke his leg at Lyon. And again, it didn't feel like the same team when he wasn't there. I think over the course of his 8 years at Celtic, he didn't miss a whole lot of games other than the odd niggle. And that's part of someone becoming that talisman for your club, is because they're durable, they're robust, and they're excellent. And just hopefully that's what Furuhashi is going to be for us.
Yeah, I just think these guys don't want to be rested. I know it's part of the modern game and it's, you know, I'm just going to be careful with them and different things. I think, you know, obviously he was rested against Livingston last week. I think if you were to ask the player, he'd have been gunning to start that game. And obviously Ange's made a call, but I can't remember Larsson ever being rested. These guys just want to play, they want to add to their tally, they want to score goals and keep doing what they do best.
He's untoppable, and that was... I don't want to be critical of Big Ange, but that was a mistake.
Don't you dare.
I know I'm saying it, but it was a mistake last week. You're right, good players want to play all the time, but sometimes you need to protect them as well. How long do we go on about Callum McGregor playing too many games and stuff like that? Sometimes you need to pick and choose your battles and take them off, but even when you take them off, you can see the standards dropping straight away. You've definitely got a like for like, but you can see the actual, the pace dropping, the standards dropping, even the boys running about them are having to change the way they play because you're not getting the same movement.
Yeah, that's the thing. I would far rather see him start and come off after an hour or so, which Ange has done a few times. Again, we spoke about this in some of the post-match stuff. There is absolutely no doubt it's a downgrade. The last couple of games there, he's removed all 3 of those superstars, so Kyogo, Abada and Jota, and it's a serious dip in quality when the other guys come in?
That was a point I was going to touch on, is that there's a dip in quality not just on the end product, but also closing down the tempo of the team overall. It's just so noticeable. It just drops off so much. And it's an obvious area of concern. But by the same token, I think it just highlights, whilst Ange's reign is still in its infancy, I think he just has to play it, rather than try and be too smart, just play it with a straight bat, play your strongest team, give yourself the best chance of your team to win the game, and then deal with it if a player looks like he's so burnt out that he can't play. And I would include McGregor in that as well, because as much as I think Kyogo is pivotal to how Celtic play, I would also include Cal McGregor in that. As I touched upon last week, McGregor was also out the team when we weren't doing too well either.
Yep.
And I think the way that Ange wants the team to play, whether McGregor's playing a slightly more advanced position or whether he's playing the holding position, his ability to get on the ball and dictate the play is absolutely key to Celtic controlling the game.
I was watching him on Sunday in a few games as well. He's an absolute nightmare. Kyogo's a nightmare to pick up. He drops short. He fluctuates between two centre halves. He's an absolute nightmare. People talk about his movement, but the way he does is he makes himself available all the time. At times he's dropped in, get the ball, lays it off to McGregor, spins, takes his man away. He's an absolute nightmare for a defender to pick up.
Yeah, I've no doubt. What do you think of the wee bit of snidiness he's got in his locker?
Love
you
that.
This?
Cheeky.
Absolutely love it. Absolutely. No, but that, I mean, when you're not the biggest, you'll take a fair bit of rough treatment. So the fact that you're able to, get a wee get it right up you, but whenever you can, when you get the chance, absolutely take it. Because, and again, the other example we'll use of that's Larsson. Larsson was small and took a frightful amount of punishment, but he dished it back out.
As a talisman, that you've got a target in your back straight away.
You go for the
top man first.
Yeah, I think all these guys, all these top players, you need to have a wee bit of that, within your game, just to allow you to, go the extra yards. For those who don't know what I'm talking about in terms of the bit of snidiness, you'll find it on Twitter, I'm sure. But after we've scored, not sure, maybe Jota's second goal against Dundee, he's given it the big one to the Dundee centre half, who's potentially double his height, by the way. He's given it that, and he's also done it when we scored against Hibs. The Hibs goalie was on the deck and he's ran by him and he said something. Sinky, I don't lip read Japanese, but he said something. And he's also fond of doing his wee triangle symbol to the opposition fans. He likes a wee bit of that. So, aye, good on him. And we'll see how that goes. So, he now heads off on international duty. He's going with Japan to face Vietnam and Oman. And he'll be looking to add to the three goals he's got for his country. And as always, we just hope he comes back fit and ready for the next round of fixtures. Definitely a guy I want to spend some time on today. So, on Wednesday of last week, Celtic confirmed that Tony Ralston had signed an improved deal that would keep him at the club until 2025. Joined the club as an 8-year-old and made his debut way back in May 2016. But if I've been really honest, pretty much everyone, certainly I was here, and the majority of the fan base thought his time was up at the club at least 12 months or so ago. So the question is, what does this turnaround say about the mental attitude of Ralston himself, and how much of his improvement should be put down to him and how much to Ange?
Well, I think he's on record this saying he's had a change in circumstances recently and he's become a father.
Yeah,
I can only speak for myself in saying that when I became a dad, it changed how I thought about life. However, I'm no a professional footballer, so to have that as maybe an extra bit of motivation as to how you discipline yourself, how you go about your routine, how you implement, the sports science recommendations for your diet and how to live in your day-to-day life. If Tony Ralston's taking that, the birth of his daughter, I believe it is.
Yep.
Birth of his daughter is inspiration to just be a better professional footballer and give yourself a better chance at succeeding at Celtic or another club, as it looked like it was going to be the case. Then I think you have to doff your cap to him. Never in my life watching Celtic have I seen a player improve so much as I've saw Tony Ralston improve over the past 4 years. I was at the game where he made his debut, and he gave me the impression of being robust, agricultural, but not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing up until this season has changed my mind about that. Bear in mind that both St Johnstone and Dundee United could have signed him for nothing, and they didn't. I've spoken about this before on the podcast. To think that he came back in the summer knowing that he was deemed not good enough for Celtic, because that's why he was out on loan, Dundee United when they were in the Championship, or St Johnstone, who had endured a mid-table season prior to then going on to win their double cup, and then didn't get a look in ahead of John Joe Kenny, which is probably more baffling than all those other things put together. To have the mental resolve to still want to try and improve yourself, because we all know the stories of guys that have followed a path like Ralston, maybe not playing for Celtic or playing for Rangers, but have been a professional footballer, been in at a club, been in at academy level, not made the grade and then tapered off to the point where they've ended up point with us. No offence, lads. They've just maybe not had that motivation or that bounce back ability, to borrow that phrase off Ian Dowie, to go back and really show the hunger and desire they want to make it. Tony Ralston has, and I still can't believe it's him that I'm watching. Still can't believe it. It's honestly, it's like just watching. I think he's a body snatcher. I think he's not somebody else's body.
He's possessed by the ghost.
No,
of
it is, man. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, Dave, thank you. Before I come to yourself, I'll read out some of the quotes from Tony himself after he signed that deal last week. So he says, "When you're not involved for the period that I was last season, it was important that I kept myself right and worked hard away from the pitch. When the opportunity came round, I was ready to take it because I put the work in. It wasn't easy to do, but I'm glad I'm here now and I'm ready to kick on. It's every fan's dream to be in the position that I'm in today, and I'm very grateful for it. And it's important to believe you can one day come through the ranks and play for Celtic." Strong words indeed, and as Miff mentioned, he also goes on to talk about his daughter and the impact that has. But what's your take on it, Sinky? What do you think?
It's one of the best stories to commit to Celtic for a number of years. Like, everybody wrote him off, like, completely. He was a fall guy. Okay, O'Day's a turn. He was coming in, he had one good game. And you know something, like, he's kicked on. He's actually kicked on for being this mediocre fall guy who everybody thought was never going to make the grade, to someone who I wouldn't have at the team.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have him at the team. And when you looked at the social media outpouring, when he got his contract, obviously during the week, every single person was all over that, like, congratulations, brilliant. See if that had happened, well, somebody else got a contract the day after. We'll talk about that probably later on. But the difference in just the public, all the Celtic fans backing that up. But you mentioned it, Miff. Like, you went to St Johnson, he was, something's happened. You talk about the mentality. He was getting slated, right? And I'm guilty of it. So if you're listening, Tony, I apologise. But we're all guilty of giving it tight, making him the fall guy, stuff like that. And you know something? He's took it in the chin. To have that kind of mental resolve to come back for that and improve yourself and no listen to it, that guy's got some backbone, some glass. He's not even got a glass chin. He's just, I think that's one of the best stories I've came across in modern times at Celtic.
He's actually, along with, you know, Ange and the Feel Good and Kyogo and Jota and everything else, he's very much played his part in galvanising this team. And as you say, Sinky, the outpouring on social media after the deal was announced last Wednesday, it was 100% positive. And I think people are just delighted for him because, you know yourself as a fan, you like nothing more than to see one of your own. And just, you know, to quote there, it's every fan's dream. That's his own words. He is a fan and there's nothing he wants more than to be a success at Celtic. You'd mentioned, just in terms of the turnaround, he played one game last year and it was the post-Dubai Livingston game. I think it was one of those games we drew nothing each. To turn that around, he's now had 23 games so far this season, 23 from one, 4 goals, 4 assists, and he's played his part in 9 clean sheets. It's incredible.
It is, and I still can't quite believe I'm watching the same player. I keep saying that, but it's true. I think a lot of credit has to go to the manager, though. The manager's obviously instilled some form of belief in him, made him feel wanted and part of the squad, something that he hasn't felt probably since the first season that he broke into the team, because I know he played the odd game and he featured quite regularly on the bench for Rodgers. So it's just really heartening to see, like you say, Tino, fans love nothing more than one of their own breaking through into the team. But this is different because he had been universally written off, and I don't care what AMD says, there isn't a Celtic fan out there that ever for one minute thought Anthony Elson was good enough to play as a regular in the Celtic first team. He has proved everyone wrong. And I think coming back, we probably touched on it. I don't think we were universally happy that he'd been offered the 1 year extension in his deal when he came back in the summer, but we understood it for the point of view that the squad was so meagre and threadbare that we had to kind of bat the hatches and make sure we'd enough players to field an 11. But he's come in, he's took his chance when there was a chance there. In life, you need ability, but you also need a wee bit of luck. He's had his wee bit of luck, timing's worked out in his favour, and he's took full advantage of it, and all credit to him.
He was always going to be known for the guy that squared up to Neymar, wasn't he? That's all he was going to be known for.
Yeah.
And then he's come in, and he's just, a lot of stuff he's added to his game, like the crossing, the overlapping. It's just like, it's like Miff says, it's unbelievable, the change in the guy. And he's always had a wee bit of bite about him, but to add a wee bit of quality to his game, and for me, he's in that starting 11. It's his jersey. I know we're all laughing. We signed Juranovic. We're all laughing about he needs to move. He needs to get out of the team. And he probably will. Once we get a left back in, it'll be Juranovic will probably slot in his natural side. But it's not an easy choice for Big Ange. He's a fan's favourite.
I don't think you can, though. Just under the most basic rule of football, you've signed a player that you know is better than him, but he's not playing better than him. And to play better than the way Ralston's playing now, you would need to be playing at an exceptional level.
To be fair to Ange, when he came into the club, he's taken everyone at face value. So he's not had any preconceptions. I mean, he's come in, he's assessed the players, and I think it's quite early on when he was quoted in saying that he's never let him down. So when he's picked him, Tony's never let him down, so he's still not letting him down to this day.
Yeah, I mean, the words you used, Miff, you know, industrial, agricultural and different things like that, that is absolutely the correct terms, even for the first phase of this season. But since then, I think you mentioned the improvements. Only a couple of weeks ago, we were slating his crossing. You know, he was doing all the defensive stuff fine, doing it well, but getting to byline and it was over the bar and wide and different things. Some of the crosses he's put in, the cross he put in after bouncing Charlie Adam out the road was, you know, incredible. Just whipped it, pace, and Jota comes on it, and it's a brilliant cross, and it's a really solid assist. And likewise, the first one for Kyogo, that's a different type of cross. He's just lifted it, found an area.
You've got to remember as well, he's playing that inverted fullback stuff as well. So you're asking, you've took him at his natural habitat to put him in the middle of the park. And, well, do you know what I mean? And he's also doing that job that he's never done before, and he's doing the job he should be doing, and it's the right back.
Yeah, some guy. So he turns 23 next Tuesday, Miff, 16th November. What are you getting him for his birthday? What do you get, a man who has everything?
Two tickets to the Ballon d'Or.
Nice pair of nice pair of silk boxer, right?
I think so.
Give you a Christmas for that, you get something.
In fact,
So just another thing that's going on at the moment, there's obviously the question as well, we're about to get into International Week. What does Tony Ralston have to do into one of Steve Clarke's squads? He's been kept out by Stephen O'Donnell, who, I think he's a decent guy, but he's very limited, and Nathan Patterson, who doesn't play for Rangers. What's the story there?
I was thinking about this one in the way in, and you talk about loyalty and stuff like that, and for him, you think when the national team gets you an automatic call-up. What Stevie Clark's done, he's stuck to his guns. He's got Patterson in there, he's got O'Donnell in there. The games that are coming up, I mean, the Moldova game is a critical, critical game. And you would say that Ralston should come in based on form. But Steve Clark's just he's tried and tested. He's got a wee bit of loyalty to the guys. That's a bit of kicking the teeth for him, because you're like, what does he need to do? But I think it's the manager that's stuck to. He's been loyal to the people that have got him to where the position, obviously, we're going for the playoff place. He's stuck to O'Donnell, who I don't believe to be on form or the same level as Ralston now. And Patterson, I'll no go there with that.
I think that since the squad's been announced, Ralston's actually got better. His level of performances get better. So I think even when the squad was announced, I wasn't terribly surprised it wasn't in, just because sometimes international managers tend to treat that initial early season burst with a bit of suspicion. Some managers don't like upsetting the apple cart and just going and throwing somebody new into the mix, and I think Clark strikes me as that type of guy, albeit that I see he's brought Jacob Brown for Stoke into the squad as well. So, you know, maybe I've just contradicted myself there. But in terms of O'Donnell, again, if he's not dropped O'Donnell before now, I don't see why he will. If he's been so loyal to him, you know, O'Donnell's level of performance has been what it's always been. And he's still continually being picked, again, because I think it's a guy that he knows and he trusts and he's happy to go back to. Likewise, similar with Patterson, and I think Patterson's had enough of an impact that I can under, and he's a wee bit different to the type of player Stevie Clark would normally select, so I kind of understand it. But I think just looking at it purely in form, and even more so now, in the past few weeks, where Ralston seems to again have upped his level of performance, it looks a very obvious one. An easy decision for Stevie Clark to have made to have got him in, a foreign player that's going to offer you a bit of everything in terms of robust at the back, but also something going forward. He must be thinking to himself, what do I need to do to get in the squad?
He's probably a Steve Clark right back. He's probably a Steve Clark right back. The way the robustness and a bit about him can go forward. He offers more than O'Donnell, but you're right, the whole loyalty thing, the Kilmarnock, the sticking to him, that kind of stuff, it plays a massive factor in football.
You just wonder if even, as you say, Miff, he's got loyalty and different things, but could Clark bring him in and have him around the squad and maybe bed him in, because he's a young guy. He's, you know, next week he'll be 23, so there's plenty of years for him to develop, and him and Patterson could potentially be the right backs of the future. So we'll see, but at the moment, yep, it certainly makes Steve Clark look pretty foolish. Sinky, you touched on it briefly, but fellow fullback Greg Taylor also signed a new deal. That was on Friday of last week. It was also his birthday, something in the water, 5th of November. That'll keep him here till the same time, till 2025. So what do you think of that one, Miff? I know you're a big fan of the boy.
I think with Taylor, like Ralston, was, you know, somebody that Ange relied on fairly heavily, especially early doors, to implement the style of football that he wanted, because he was limited in who he could select. But I think that they followed his instructions pretty much to the letter, and I think Ange obviously feels a bit of loyalty towards him, and he's rewarded them with the contract. He obviously finds them dependable guys to have run about the squad. You need a Ralston, you need a Taylor in the squad that's probably got to, I know Ralston has been a regular starter, but you know, these guys probably in the longer term future aren't going to start every week, but you need them in the squad to be able to come in and out. I just don't think Taylor's as bad as everybody makes out. I'm at the wind up a bit going on about him, because I know it seems to really, really wind Celtic fans up when you big up Greg Taylor, and I know he hits the opposition fullback's rear end with monotonous regularity with the ball, but I just don't think he's as bad as he's made out. I think Taylor's a decent squad player, and I think he's been signed as such. Ralston signing the extension as well, I think, to a view at the future, if he keeps up the form, he's going to be in the team. But I think that's why Ange wants him as well, as he's a reliable, dependable squad player that's always going to be there.
We've seen the point of giving Tony Ralston a year's extension because we'd nobody else. When you've watched Taylor this season, he looks uncomfortable playing in this, the way Ange wants to play. I don't believe he's done anything at all to deserve a deal of this sort. I'm one of these guys that's baffled. I'm baffled with this, honestly.
I think his final ball's fairly poor. At times, he's a bit hesitant, but overall, I just don't think he's as bad as everybody makes it.
It just makes you wonder what's happening with the likes of Liam Scales. Bowling goalie's a different question altogether. Montgomery's in there. Do we need to sign so many backups?
Just do the ball and goalie thing. So he's come in and he's played against Motherwell.
And then Livingston.
Livy.
He's not in the Euro squad, is he?
No, he's not in the Europa League squad, no.
It's quite odd, isn't it? Really.
It's very strange.
I don't think he did that badly in either game.
But you can probably count him out. But if Scales is in, if Montgomery's around, do you need to give Taylor the extension, or do you not just wait to see what happens, sign better quality in January and then kick on? Listen, I don't have a big problem with it. It's squad management. You might get a couple of quid for him down the line, but it's just a wee bit of a puzzler.
Some of the signings that have been made, especially the kind of development ones, you wonder how much Ange knew about these. If these were scouted before, these were scouting reports before he's come in and he's picked them up and he's obviously gave the nod on them. But some of the two boys we signed for Sheffield,
Shaw and Urogide.
Yeah, and then your Scales. I don't know what. I mean, there's talk about them going out on loan in January already. Scales will probably stay for the duration. But you just wonder, we've done this in the past, but these guys seem to be nowhere near it at all. I mean, some of they're in and out of squads, but they're not getting any game time for the first 11 at all.
It's funny, because how are you going to improve unless you get the chance to play? Sean and Urogide are on the bench almost every squad for us. So it is interesting, but we'll see how that plays out. Just on the Greg Taylor thing, did you see his Mouser in the press photos?
Impressive.
Very impressive. But he was getting a bit of grief around it, but apparently he's doing Movember and raising good awareness for mental health and cancer charities, so good on him for that. What we'll do, let's hear from Ange now with some of his comments after the Dundee win, and also his plans for some players during the international break.
It was some excellent football at times. There was a couple of moments where I thought we were a bit sloppy and unnecessarily paid a price for it, but overall, considering a tough Thursday night game, we got back late from Europe, it was going to be a real test for the boys in terms of their energy and drive, and I thought they showed that. Yeah, hopefully. Obviously we want the boys to do well, the ones that go away. They've got some big games and we'll be wishing them well, but hopefully they get through unscathed. And then we've got we've got some here. It'll be Leinsterstown. Some need a break, who've played quite a lot of football. Others we need to put some work into. So it's still important period for us, and massive game when we get back. So we're going to be ready for it.
So Ange mentions there in the first piece the cheap goals that we conceded against Dundee, in addition to the two we conceded at Ferencváros. So scored 7, but we've also conceded 4. Sinky, do you think that's an ongoing concern? So as mentioned, Ange isn't mad about the clean sheets. He's not too fussed, but as long as we're doing what we're doing at the other end of the park, it should be fine. But does it trouble you that we might come a cropper against better opposition?
Yes and no. I mean, against good opposition, you're always going to get opened up and there's going to be chances created. But again, conceding 2 against Dundee, people will take the negatives out of that automatically. Obviously, they're seen as the worst defensive record in the league. The way we play, and the way we set up, we're not set up to stop the other teams from scoring. We've not got that, and I don't think we've got that in the locker. But I think you're right, you touched on it at the start. He's more interested in just scoring more than the opposition. It's like Brazil in the 70s.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's the reason. It's like, also like lunchtime at primary school. Just go hell for leather.
10:21.
See what happens. What do you think, Muff?
He's got his way of playing, and that's it. You know, there's not really too much more to say. He obviously feels that by controlling the game, having most of the ball, more often than not, you're going to win your games because you're going to create more chances and score more goals. The Scottish league is a wee bit different to most leagues in the sense that almost every home game that the Celtic have, bar maybe one or two, the opposition's going to show very little interest in trying to win the game. The Livingston game's a classic example of that. So it's a conundrum, I think, that who will kind of flinch first? Will it be Ange in terms of changing his approach and his setup, or will it be that we'll just continually, you know, kind of just keep playing the way they're playing, regardless of who we're playing, and walk into these games where, you know, inevitably you do kind of draw or fail to create much because the opposition are happy just to camp in the 18-yard box.
I think I can tell you now that Ange isn't changing.
No, he's not changing.
Do you know what? I've changed my mentality, right? Like, a lot.
In life?
No, I turned up the night, so there you go. but you know what? Like, we usually when you concede a goal, right? And I don't know if this is a Scottish thing. It's the end of the world, right? I'm like, oh, come on. What are we doing here, man? But with this team, you're like, ah, it's fine. We'll just go and score another. We'll just go and score another one. It's my mentality's changed to what, because of this, the way we set up and the way Ange plays. Usually when you go, it's 2-1, you're like, oh, here we go. But you know there's going to be more chances. The way we play, the front three, you know you've got a chance to outscore the opposition.
Yesterday, probably what frustrated me more was those two headers that we missed. And the game is done.
Stephen Welsh.
And Carter Vickers.
Less so with him, but yeah.
Oh, he just headed it straight to the keeper. It's not even, pick your corner. And then Welsh has tried to put a corner to it and just put it on target. So it was two contrasting headers, but two very glaring misses. You know, those go in, the game is finished. So if you do concede your daft goals, you're no caring. That's the, going to sound odd calling for us to be more clinical, but that's in both games we've been cruising and then put ourselves under a bit of unnecessary pressure. And it's just, it'll be nice. I suppose we're still early on in what you would call the process or the gelling of the team together, and that's something that Joe Hart was really hammering home in the interview before the game. He said, just stick with us because we're still a work in progress and we're not perfect, we're human beings, we're still trying to implement what the manager is trying to put in place, but we all believe in it.
Yeah.
And I think that is ultimately the most important thing. If the players are all believing in it, then it's up to us as fans to get behind it.
Some of the goals we've lost is the basics of defending, like no shutting down quick enough, no stopping the cross coming in. A lot of it is the basic stuff. It's not the way we've actually set up.
Yeah.
I mean, the first Dundee goal, the boys kind of stroll by three yep. boys in the box yep. and put a cross in. And you know something? That cross he's put in, kid, it was a decent ball, man.
A very good ball.
It was a great, as really hard to defend that, but that ball shouldn't be coming in because he skipped through three players,
yeah.
put it in.
As much as we've got superior players, I think you do need credit Dundee for a part in yesterday because they changed their shape. They obviously were hoping to keep it tight and frustrated like Livingston had done. But they actually changed it and had a bit of a go. As a result, they left themselves more open. But it was to their credit that they actually did come back at us. And I thought that cross was an excellent cross. You can see that Carter Vickers has just been caught ball watching and Welsh, because Welsh was already marking somebody and he's just getting behind Carter yeah. Vickers.
That's a question. So Paul McMillan, ex-Celtic, that put the cross in. A few ex-Celtics, actually, young Gouser and all these kind of guys in that Dundee team. But it was a very good cross. It was clipped in, it was curling, it was hard to defend. But Carter Vickers, I thought, was a wee bit too far out yep. towards the post. Mm-hmm. And as you say, yep. Welsh ends up, he doesn't know whether to stick or twist. He's got two guys and he's got little chance there.
I know. I don't know if you've got Starfield in there. It's different because you've got the two different, obviously, that. They played against Ferris Fashos on Thursday.
Against who?
Was it Ferris Fashos? I can't even say it. Ferris Fashos. And that mob for hungry. So, we are partnership. I think they've been caught in no man's land, right? One's drifted out, one's flat footed. We are partnership. You know where your pal is. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I think that's one of the big things.
Just on that, so Welsh is obviously slotted in last couple of games because of Starfelt's injury. We'll see how that plays out once the players come back for international. How do you think he's done, Miff, overall?
I think he's done okay. Probably his confidence has been a wee bit shorn because he was Mr. Dependable at the start of the season, and he, as soon as Carter Vickers came in, he was kind of dropped to the bench and not really cited, I think, other than maybe one game. For me, Welsh is an able deputy, and I'm much like Ralston, much like Taylor, I think he's a guy that you keep in the squad, and he's somebody that if you bring in, you're not wincing, thinking, oh no, we're playing Welsh. That certainly doesn't bother me. I think Stephen Welsh is more than capable of doing a job for us.
Yeah, just on that, I think Smith's describing there as an able deputy. Do you see him as that? He's not quite a first teamer anymore. He was a first choice last season.
I wouldn't say so. I mean, he was chucked out of the deep end last year with circumstances. Yeah. Probably the worst seed you could ever be chucked in. Mm-hmm. I think the Ralston doubters have moved across to Welsh, to be fair. There was one thing in Sunday. He tried to put a bob outside his boot. I don't know if you've seen it. He tried to play a 50-yard outside of the boot pass, and I'm like, come on now, yeah. Right? Behave yourself, right? No need for that. But he's come in, he's done his couple of games. I mean, some of the early games in Europe, he was excellent. Mm-hmm. We were all calling for him to get a regular run. But him coming out, you always knew that obviously with Ange, he's brought in staff out for decent money. We got big CCV the last day of the transfer. They were always going to be his pairing. For Welsh to come out and not get a run of games, I thought he'd done well on Thursday night, and then against Dundee, just glimpses of he's just not quite there yet. And people are going about he's never going to be a Celtic centre half. The boy needs a chance. He needs a run of games.
I think so too. I think he's a very good player. I really do. And I just think that, as you say, Sinky, last season, baptism of fire, getting thrown in next to Shane Duffy and all the nonsense that came with it last year. And I actually think, if managed correctly, and listen, I'm sure Ange's a man for this, but if he manages him correctly, brings him in and out at different times and just looks after him and keeps his head right, I think he could go on to be a very good centre-half for Celtic. I do believe at the moment he's down the pecking order, and maybe even more so when Julian comes back, but I think he's got a huge part to play, and I'm quite hopeful for what lies next for Stephen Welsh. So what we'll do now, we'll look on to the international break. As mentioned, we've now got this break for the next couple of weeks before the next round of fixtures, so the various obvious guys will be going to be with their countries, guys like McGregor, Turnbull, Kyogo, Beaton, Abada. It does allow an opportunity, as Ange said there, to allow some players a bit of rest. So Ralston, for example, played a lot of football, but also allows further rehab for guys like Forrest, Julian, Rogic, who we've not even touched on, we've not had him the last few games, Starfelt, Greg Taylor and James McCarthy. Now, James McCarthy is somebody I just want to touch on here for now, because he's the forgotten man very, very quickly all of a sudden. And I just want to, run it by you guys. I mean, Miff, have you been a bit concerned about just how little we've seen of him? And I mean, for me, in terms of ability, he's a far better player than Beaton. But right now, Beaton's the man that's got the shirt and not McCarthy.
Well, I'm not concerned, because what I did see from him, it wasn't good enough to be in a starting place. Now, I know he's had a terrible time through injury, but just because of reputation and because he's a Celtic fan doesn't mean you walk in and get a starting jersey. His showing against Livingston meant that I think he'd proven it. I mean, any time I'd seen him, he'd done the odd good thing, but just generally, he wasn't getting about the park well enough. And to play in this Celtic team, the one thing he needs energy. I think you've seen in recent weeks, Rogic and Turnbull both improve in terms of their mobility and the amount of ground that they cover. Beaton, when he's playing in central midfield, does possess a reasonable level of intelligence where he can get about, he makes angles, and he's always willing to produce a few dirty fouls in the midfield to break up the opposition's play when they're moving forward. So he's got that kind of intelligence to play there. My issues with Beaton have always been when he's played at centre-half, because he plays at centre-half like he would play at centre-mid. He makes stupid fouls and ends up getting sent off for him. The McCarthy thing doesn't really bother me. What does bother me is we signed him in a 3-year contract. I just think that's absolutely nuts.
Four, I think.
Four, definitely.
I'm
worried about the situation. That's the contract, 4-year contract. I know he's had injuries and stuff like that, but we've not seen anything from him. The Livy game, run about like a stolen motor. I want him to do well. You get the whole Celtic connection, and he's come in with a reputation. He's played at a higher level. We can all say that. But I'm worried about the 4-year deal. I'm thinking, you know what it is? I'm thinking Marvin Compter, that kind of dirt director, that kind of stuff.
Well, as mad as this sounds, I think he's somebody that could benefit from going on loan. I think he could actually go on loan and play. He just needs to play. He's no good having stop, start coming to us when he's only coming. I mean, I think at the start he was coming on for 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there. Then when we did actually go to start him, it was very obvious for everybody to see. He just wasn't mobile enough because he wasn't fit enough.
But we're in November now, and we've not seen anything to indicate that he's going to fit into this team. And he's, even when he comes on and stuff like that, like 10 minutes, 20 minutes here and there, it's, I know you're saying about the loan stuff, you could probably say that would get him a run of games. And they know he's well down the pecking order.
Yeah.
Like, well down the pecking order. I don't know if he's ahead of Soro, we can argue that one out, but if he's done the pecking order.
I think he's definitely a guy who needs minutes, and I think he just needs to play games and find his feet and find his form. It's funny, I'm a huge fan, and I think and hope he'll be a success, but he's not shown it at the moment, and he's been sub not used far too often. You know, Andy doesn't even feel that he can trust him and bring him on in some games.
For me, I just don't think there's any way he's an Ange signing.
You think there's an Irish connection there, a Dermot Desmond, something going on?
I have no idea. I certainly don't think. I think that's been a premeditated signing, or it's been one that we've had in the pipe, and then given the lack of activity we had towards the end of the transfer window, we probably just went, let's just push a button on. That's just how it seems to me. Maybe I'm talking absolute mince. Maybe Ange has scouted him and signed him and wants him in the team, but the amount of minutes that he's playing would suggest not.
You do also wonder why you have to give a 4-year deal to a guy that's freed him a contract. He was doing nothing, I believe. I don't know if he had other offers. Very possibly did. But 4 years on decent money is a strange one. But listen, we'll move on from that. I hope and believe it will become a success. But at the moment, he just seems to be falling a wee bit short.
The other thing, just while we're talking about recent form and the performances, especially Ferenc Varos and Dundee, the one player I would like to highlight is Leo Labada.
Mm-hmm.
And purely on the basis that two of the goals came from him pushing up and really pressing high on the opposition fullback, and we got a goal against Ferenc Varos from it, and we got a goal against Dundee from it as well. And I know he is the less heralded of the front three that we have at the moment, but the energy that he brings to the front line, his willingness to run, he's constantly shown himself as an option as well. I just think it's excellent. This guy's only 19. He's come in, he's had an excellent impact in terms of, I know sometimes his overall general play frustrates people because it doesn't really take a man on. You know, sometimes he seems to be guilty hitting the defender, he's crossing, things like that. But he's really, really effective in terms of his contributions for assists and goals. And I just think he's had an excellent start to his Celtic career. And I think it bodes really well. The fact you've got Forrest now back and in contention, if you can actually maybe take a bit of the heat off Abada and use him a wee bit more sparingly, I think that will benefit more rather than playing just, you know, being relied upon almost in his first season at Celtic Park. It will just let him maybe take him out the firing line and just let him develop and mature a bit more as a player. I just think he's a player for us to be really, really excited about. He's our player, he's 19, and I just think it's a great signing.
He's got serious potential. He's worked great and his attitude is absolutely spot on for somebody that age. I mean, he is prone to a mistake and, I mean, that's just experience, just getting games under his belt, but he's come in, you're right, in Europe as well, he's a great outlet, like, he's always on the move, he's always taking it, quite frustrating at times, but that's just a winger. Wingers are always going to be frustrating, they cannot be, it's very hard to be consistent as a winger, but for someone that age, and you're right, he's our player, like the other side, obviously Jota's on loan agreed to buy, but for him, he has done brilliant.
I also think he plays to Angie's system, to your point, Miff, the closing down is exceptional. And yeah, sometimes the end product isn't quite there. Although, you know, first half dozen games or so, he's getting amongst the goals, getting amongst the assists, and he's assisted recently as well. But his work rate off the ball to do this high press that Ange, you know, so desires from this team, it's paying dividends, and it's what's got is that crucial first goal against Ferenc Varos, and again, it's played its part against Dundee. So yeah, I think you're right. I think we need to be careful with guys like that. We played him for the first, I would say, dozen or so games out with when he took the spell for religious reasons. He missed a game or so. Because we had to play him. We didn't have the options. We didn't have Forrest. We didn't have Mikey Johnson available, and there was no other choice. Now there is choice. I think it's time to just be careful with him and just to make sure that at times when his head's down a wee bit, just drop him out, drop him back in, and we'll see what kind of reward we get. Moving on. So next up on the return from the international break is St Johnstone at Hampden. That's a League Cup semi-final, Saturday 20th November. I think it's kick-off 5 o'clock. So
Quarter past five.
Quarter past five, so a Saturday evening kick-off to look forward to. It'll be Ange's first trip to the National Stadium. There's a potential final versus Rangers who play Hibs in the other semi. We'll see how that goes. Sinky, in true Wim Jansen style, is it important to lift that first trophy of the season and put down a marker?
After last season, we need a lift. And the Hampden record over the last few years, or more than the last few years, has been exceptional. To get Ange a trophy, the job he's done, he absolutely deserves it. He deserves his big day. But St Johnstone, they're the form team in the cup, and they double last year.
Yeah.
So it'll be a tough game, but you know, for me, I would love to see Big Ange lift his first trophy.
Yeah, it would be great. Miff, obviously it's the less heralded of the three trophies available here in Scotland, but Do you think it puts out a marker, makes a statement and gives the players confidence moving forward?
Absolutely. I don't think after last season, I don't think we can be too sniffy about it. I think any silverware this season makes it a successful season for Ange. To me, I have no doubt he'll be targeting this trophy. And if you look at recent managerial reigns down in England, the League Cup's been something that the likes of Guardiola and Mourinho often target just to get their reign off to a flying start, because it's the first available trophy that you can win. So I think it would bode well if Ange came in and his first attempt at winning silver, he'd be successful. I think that would just be a big boost for him, big boost for the squad, and it would act as a sort of, what's the word I'm looking for, a verification in the way that he's wanting to play.
Validation,
that's the word I'm looking for, validation. And the fact that the squad have brought in it and it's brought results. So, no, for me, listen, that's how Celtic are judged. Celtic are a club that's judged in the trophies they win. We can play all the nice football we want. We can blow teams away week in, week out. But if at the end of it, there's not a trophy, then people ask questions, and rightly so. Celtic is ultimately a club that's judged on trophies, and winning trophies will get everybody in a good mood.
Definitely, so it's one to look forward to. So a couple of weeks away, or just less than a fortnight away, St Johnstone at Hampden, Ange's first trip to the National Stadium. Just a final additional piece of news before we start to wrap things up for today. Obviously, Eddie Howe has now been confirmed officially as the new manager of Newcastle. Sinky, would you swap Ange Postecoglou for Howe nowadays?
Absolutely not. No. Do you know, we were in here discussing Eddie Howe for months and months and months. And you know what? Like, I would not swap the big man for Howe or for anybody at the moment. He's just got that connection with the fans. And you know what? Howe faffed about. Did he want the job? Ange wants to be here. And we're just lucky to have him.
Yeah. Miff, do you think we've won a watch with Big Ange?
Yes, I do. I wasn't convinced about Howe during all the speculation, even more so now.
Yep.
The fact he's obviously had to get the permission slip for his missus to take a Newcastle job, so no for me. And also, I feel the union of him and Newcastle has disaster written all over it. I may be wrong, but I don't think the Geordies will respond well to a PE teacher.
Yeah, but I think we're universal in our agreement that, as you say, Sinky, you wouldn't swap Ange for anybody at this moment in time.
Can you see Eddie Howe rocking the grey trouser, black jumper look?
Nah, he's not quite got
chance.
Sinky, as we start to wrap things up for today, what's your summary on how things are going just now and your final comments for the week?
Well, there's one thing I did want to touch on. We've not even spoke about what happened on Sunday. There are obviously a couple of main talking points we've not talked about in the podcast. Now, forget about the tennis balls. Forget about the minute of silence. What I'm really disappointed, and this needs to be brought up, the fact that we're singing Christmas songs at the start of November, I'm not happy about that.
We're better than that, aren't we?
We're much better than that. Come on. It's just, Bonfire Night was the last Friday. Come on. So any Celtic fans, or all Celtic fans listening, a bit early. Come on. My thoughts.
The school of thought is that Christmas now starts after Bonfire Night. That just seems to be accepted wisdom. It's madness. Absolute madness. 12 days of Christmas.
It's allowed them to get an Ange Postecoglou song on the go, though, so that's got to be...
I think that's played a massive part in it. We had to get one out there. But yeah, things are going really well. Some of the boys will get a rest. We hope to goodness that the boys that are away in the national duty come back and they're fully fit, ready to go, because we need that strongest 11.
Yeah. Likewise, Miff, I'm looking to give you a rest during the international break, let you and Tony Ralston recharge your batteries. But what's your final thoughts for today?
Final thoughts, it's nice to go into the international break with a couple of wins. When you look at the last kind of tranche, about 7 or 8 games, it's actually been really impressive with the Livy game being the only blip. So I just think we're in a really good place, and you can see that. You can see the way the squad as a whole seem to be really, really vibrant. And it's just an absolute joy to watch the likes of Kyogo and Jota go at it every game.
Yeah, absolutely. So, in the 7 games since returning from October's international break, Celtic have now won 6 and drawn 1, scoring 16 goals along the way to complete an impressive unbeaten spell over the last few weeks. As always, we now hope that Kyogo and co return from their travels unscathed before we enter a seriously busy spell of fixtures over the remainder of the calendar year. Most importantly, though, we hope the main man, Tony Ralston, enjoys his time off. My thanks to Miff and Sinky for joining me this week, and as always, our thanks to you for tuning in. If you're enjoying what we do and want to lend your support, please share this episode far and wide with your Celtic supporting friends. It really makes a big difference to what we do. But in the meantime, and as always, thanks for listening. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart.